So I think maybe because we're late, we're going to skip right to. I was going to talk a little bit about which mitzv when mitzvos were given. You'll see some makoros on that topic as to the idea. Chazal do seem to imply that the Taryag mitzvos were given at Sinai. There are some issues with mitzvos that seem to be given later, mitzvos in Arvos Moav, mitzvos in Sefer Dvarim, and the like. I think we're going to skip that. And what I really want to talk about today is the question of when the explanations of the mitzvos were given, meaning to say the Torah Shebaal Peh. So we'll start with a brisa, which we read last week as well. It's a brisa from Masechet Sanhedrin. And the brisa says, so I'm trying to just open up the Makoros. So it's on Tzadi Tes Amud Aleph. Tanya Idach, Ki Dvar Hashem Baza, Ze HaOmer Ein Torah Min HaShemayim, VeAfilu Amar Kol HaTorah Kula Min HaShemayim, Chutz MiPasuk Ze Shelo Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ela Moshe Pi Atzmo, Zehu Dvar Hashem Baza. So last week we talked about what exactly that meant. What's included is the Ikkar really, Moshe Amar Mipi Atzmo, or is it Dafka Moshe? Vafilu Amar Kol HaTorah Kula Min HaShemayim Chutz MiDikduk Zeh MiKal V'Chomer Zeh MiGzeir Shavah Zeh MiGzeir Shavah Zu Zehu Kidvar Hashem Baza. So the Gemara over here tells us that someone who goes ahead and believes in the divinity of the written law but denies presumably the divinity of the oral law, they too are a kofer. And what we need to figure out is included in this list is chutz mikal v'chomer zeh. Why is that so significant? Because adam dan kal v'chomer me'atzmo. So l'chora, you don't need a mesorah for kal v'chomer. A person who sees a kal v'chomer has the right. It's one of the midos shator nedreshes, but you have the right to interpret the Torah based off of that kal v'chomer. So how could someone say that it's Miss Sinai? So that's a very important question, which we're going to, I think, will be help us in understanding the Rambam. Last week, we read the Rambam from the Hakdama to the Perush Mishnayos, where he presents Ikar Yemuna, and one of the things he said was that the principle of Torah Min HaShemayim includes V'chein Perusha HaMekubal HuGam Kein MePi HaGvura, that the Perush HaMekubal is the oral tradition that interprets the Torah, that too is MePi HaGvura. And in fact, the Gemara in Yoma says that it's Ki'ilu, we have two Torahs. We have the Torah Shebichsav and the Torah Shebaal Peh, both of which are divine. So the question, though, is while it is clear that when it comes to the Torah Shebichsav, when we say that is divine, we mean every single word is divine, as we discussed last week, what about when it comes to the Torah Shebaal Peh? What is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What isn't? What's the concept of a chiddush? Which is something we'll talk about. Why is it an Indian to be machadesh? What does a chiddush mean? So we're going to start with the Rambam, and then we'll look at the Gaonim, and then maybe we're going to get back to try to being miyash of the Rambam. So the Rambam, if you look at the very beginning of the Mishneh Torah, he lists the 613 mitzvos, and he writes, Elu heim shesh meos v'shol shesvei mitzvos, shenemru lo l'moshe b'sinai, hein v'chlaloseinu pratoseihen v'dikdukeihen. So all Taryag mitzvos were given to Moshe, including their klalim, pratim, and dikdukim. What are those pratim? That's what we call Tarsha Baal Peh. Shekiblu based in Mepi based in. In other words, it was transmitted from Moshe Rabbeinu through the Shalshalas HaMesorah. And if you look at the Hakdamah to the Perush Mishnayos, he gives an example. V'hinei l'cha mashal, Shekadosh Baruch Hu omer l'Moshe b'sukkos teishu shivas yamin. In the Torah it says you should sit in a sukkah for seven days. So what is a sukkah? So part of the Mesorah was all the details. Achar kein hodia shasuk azos chol val azachar v'lo nekevos shein acholim chayam ba v'lo holchei derech v'shaliyah sukasa sa sikucha ela b'tzemach ha'aretz v'lo yisachachena b'tzemer v'lo b'meshi, etc., etc., etc. So these are the details of Hilchos Sukkah. And the Rambam concludes, v'chein ha'sheish meos v'shalsha shrei mitzvos hein u'perusham ha'mitzvos b'chsav v'ha'perush ba'al peh. So the mitzvos were given b'chsav, the interpretation, the details, these were given ba'al peh. In his Hakdama to Mishneh Torah, he quotes to a pasuk that refers to this. The pasuk says in Shmos Chaf Dalet, v'etna lecha es luchos ha'evin v'atorah v'amitzvah. So what are these three things? Luchos ha'evin. So take a look where it says over here near Makoros from the Hakdama to Mishneh Torah. Kol mitzvos shenitnu lo Moshe b'Sinai b'peirushan nitnu. Torah, zutor shebichsav. Now that's a little problematic, as we talked about last week. It's not clear what he means here by Torah shebichsav, because l'chaora the Torah shebichsav was not in Nimsar Sinai. Maybe he means the mitzvos of Torah shebichsav. U'mitzvah zeh perusha. So mitzvah refers to the perush of the Torah shebichsav. V'tziva l'asos al pi ha-mitzvah. U'mitzvah hi nikreis Torah shebal peh. So we're given three things at Sinai, right? What are they? The Torah, the mitzvah, and the luchos. So luchos, I guess, are very straightforward. That's we know what the luchos are. But the Torah and the mitzvos are the Torah shebichsav and the Torah shebal peh, or the mitzvos and their interpretation. So if we were to just stop here from what we've read in the Rambam, it seems very clear that everything was given at Sinai, right? What came after Sinai in terms of the details? It would seem like nothing. However, this clearly is not the case. Certainly, that's not the view of the Rambam, at least. Because the Rambam frequently writes about the novel interpretations of Torah that the Chachmei Mesorah had throughout the ages. Just one of many places where he expresses this is at the beginning of Hilchos Ma'amrim, Perek Aleph. You have over here, based on Gadol Yerushalayim, Heim Ikar Torah Shebal Peh, So the pasuk in Parsha Shoftim says that we have to listen to the interpretations of the Sanhedrin Agadol, the Beis Agadol. And what's included in this? So the Rambam includes three things. Number one, number one is the transmitted Mesorah, what was given to Moshe Rabbeinu and transmitted through the Chachmei HaMesorah, through the Shalshalos HaMesorah, and the Beis Din HaGadol is the repository of that Shalshalos. Okay, so that's very straightforward. V'echad v'am shalimdum mipi da'atam be'achas min hamido shator nidrashes bahen v'ner b'neim shadavar zekachu. We'll get back to that in a moment. That's the tricky one. And the third one, v'echad Dvarim shasam siyag l'torah l'fisha ha'sha'a tzricha lohen v'engzeres tekon sam nhagos. This is the Rambam Shita, famously, where he says that v'asizah kol she'erucha n'losasim dvarim she'yidu l'chayim en usmal is talking about the takanos, gzeros, and minhagim of the Sanhedrin. This is that third point is what the Ramban disagrees with. Categories number one and three are pretty straightforward. Number one is, again, the oral transmissions. Category three are gzeros, takanos, minhagim, legislation. Obviously, legislation, category three, were things that were made up by the Sanhedrin Haggadah. They were empowered to do so. V'asisa mishmeres l'mishmarti, and the psukim and dvarim. But the question really is category number two. Category number two are laws which are the interpretation of the Torah, but there was no Mesorah. If there was a Mesorah, then they would be in category number one. They would be Mipi HaShmua. So they're not Mipi HaShmua, but they're also not legislated. In other words, it's not the pshat that they made these laws up. This was the interpretation of the Torah. So what the Rambam is saying is that we're chayev to listen to Beis Din's interpretation of the Torah, even though that interpretation is not a direct Mesorah, at least, going back to Sinai. So if that's true, then we have to go back and say, well, what did the Rambam mean when he said all the details were given at Sinai, right? If klalosim pratosim dikdukim were given at Sinai, if all the details of every mitzvah, the tayag mitzvos, were given at Sinai, so then why do you need category two? And if you have category two, which tells us that the details of the law that were discovered using the Midrash Yatron and Dreshes Bahen were discovered later, so if that's true, if you need category two for that reason, so then what did the Rambam mean when he said that all the details were given at Sinai? So that's the big kasha. The Rambam seems to contradict himself. Again, to be very clear, right? The first bunch of sources in the Rambam said all the details were given at Sinai. Then the last source we saw in the Rambam, and there are many others just like that, say that many of the details were discovered by the Sanhedrin. They were independently discovered. In other words, they were not given at Sinai. So that's the steer we have in the Rambam. I see, Ayer, you're raising your hand. Let me just see one more source in which the Rambam answers this question, and then we'll take your questions. The Rambam himself answers this question, and it could be found in the Hakdama to Perusha Mishnayos. And he writes, Shekulam Perushim Perushim Mekubalim Epi Moshe, Ve'alehem Ve'aldumehem Amru, Kol HaTorah Nemru Kolosev Pratosev Dukdekeha Misinai. When the Rambam said, and the Rambam is really quoting Chazal, when Chazal said that Pratosem Klaosem Dikdukem were Nemru Limosha Misinai, he meant what? He meant that he meant the following. He meant the Perushim HaMekubalim. That's what he meant. So the Perushim HaMekubalim were given to Moshe at Sinai. And about those Perushim HaMekubalim, about those traditions that were transmitted orally, we'll talk about what they mean in a moment. So that's what we say, Klal Osem Pratosem Dikdukeim. In other words, when the Rambam writes that when Chazal said, Klal Osem Pratosem Dikdukeim were given to Moshe at Sinai, it doesn't mean every single detail. No, there are lots of details that were not given at Sinai. When Hashem gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, he omitted details. He gave a lot of details, much more than that which is in the Torah Shebichsav was included in the Torah Shebaalpeh that was transmitted from HaKadosh Baruch to Moshe at Sinai. Certainly, there were many details given at Sinai. Like he said, you know, basukos teshu shivas yamim, what is a sukkah? And what is, what is necessary for its roof? And all those types of things. Many details were given at Sinai. However, many, many, many details were not given at Sinai. And how do we figure out what to do? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the tools to interpret the Torah, the Midrash Torah Nidrashus Ben. And he told Moshe Rabbeinu, who transmitted this to us, he told us, we are meant to use the tools of interpretation, these hermeneutical principles, to interpret the Torah Shebichsav, and through that, you could figure out what the details of the laws are. So these laws, you know, do we call them deraisa derabanan? Well, they're not derabanan in the sense that they're not legislated. They're not deraisa in the sense that they were not told by God to Moshe, but they are deraisa in the sense that they're the interpretation of the law. We will see in just a couple of minutes that the Rambam does not use those terms, generally speaking, deraisa and derabanan. He has different categorization, divrei sofrim and dvar Torah. And we'll talk about what the Rambam means by those terms. But first, let me take Yair's question. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask that. I didn't think it was a steer because of the answer. So,
yeah. Okay. Barsha Kivanta. But we should point out that, right, the answer is a big chiddush. In other words, a simple reading of Klal Sam Fratosem Dikdukim does suggest that all details. And that's why we will see that there are those who disagree with the Rambam. The Rambam, let's read a little more from the Hakadama to Perusha Mishnah. Umi shelo shama bo perush mepi anavi, alav ashal, min anyanim ha-mishtagim mehem, hotzi dinim besfaros midos ashal shesrei, ha-nesunos al har Sinai. So when we're going back to this question of the laws that were derived later, so what we mean, they too, in a sense, go back to Sinai. And like we started off at the beginning with that brisa, you know, where we said everything comes back to Sinai, right? If you say even a single Kavah Chomer isn't from Sinai, so that's Kfira, that's Dvar Hashem Baza. So, but why is that true? Didn't the Rambam just tell us that many of these dinim were made up? So the answer is, yes, they were made up. But they were made up, they were derived from the principles that were given at Sinai, the text of the Torah, as well as the tools of interpretation. And that's why the Rambam highlights that the Midos were also given at Sinai, right? That's what he writes. And this is true even with respect to Svara. Right, let's read that line again. So the Midos Shatar Nedresh Ben, and even the idea of how to use a Svara, even though it's human logic, but it's rooted in the Torah given at Sinai. Shatar Nedresh Ben. Uva'ozam adinim shehotzi'um yesh dvarim shelo naflam b'machlokas aval eskimu aleihem v'yesh mehem v'yesh ma shenaflu bo machlokas bein shtei deos zelmer b'kol v'zelmer b'kol zelmer svarim nischazka l'da'ato v'zelmer svarim nischazka l'da'ato ki midos ha'hekesh sh'al dercha tochachas yikra b'svaroseim ha'mikrezeh. So now the Rambam tells us something very fundamental. That how do you know whether something was given directly from Moshe at Sinai and whether it was something that was understood later? How do we know? Which one is it? Can you tell? So you can't always tell. But the Rambam says, if there's a machlokas, so then you know it wasn't given to Moshe at Sinai. Why? The Rambam very strongly believes that there was no break in the Masorah. So if we have, if something was transmitted to Moshe at Sinai, then that transmission would have continued and you wouldn't find a machlokas. Let's say one opinion in the Gemara doesn't have that Masorah. So that's why we find in the Gemara will say occasionally, that, you know, if this is a Masorah, in Kabbalah hi nekabel, v'imlav yesh alav tshuva. And if this is a halacha, if you're saying this halacha based off of a svara, so then I could argue, and I do argue, I think there's a kasha on it. But if you have a Masorah, so I accept the Masorah. And the Rambam thinks that there's no machlokas ever when it comes to halacha Moshe Mishinai. We're going to see some of the challenges to this position of the Rambam in a couple of minutes and how the Rambam might defend himself. But that's the basic idea of the Rambam. So anytime you have a machlokas in the Gemara, so that shows that there wasn't a Masorah, like the Rambam says over here, because when it comes to, even though it is true that the tools of interpretation were Nimsar L'Moshe Mishinai, but how you apply these tools and the role of Svara, that's something that is subject to debate. And therefore, you will find machlokas when it comes to that. So just to chazer what we have according to the Rambam so far. What the text of the Torah was received entirely, let's say, at the end of Moshe's life. Number two, the mitzvos were given to Moshe at Sinai, along with many of their details. And then number three, the details about which we find machlokas were not given to Moshe at Sinai, but were extrapolating using the tools of interpretation that were given to Moshe at Sinai. And I'll take your question one moment, Binyamin, but just one more point, that later in the Hakadama, the Rambam basically says there are therefore five categories of laws, other than that which is explicit in the text. Number one, Perushim HaMekubalim. Perushim HaMekubalim are the received tradition in terms of interpreting the text. So, for example, the Pasuk has Ayin Tachas Ayin, and we have an interpretation of that means Mamon. And again, the Rambam says about that, you will not find a debate. Number two, we have Halacha Moshe Mishinai. Halacha Moshe Mishinai was also given to Moshe and transmitted. The difference between Perush HaMekubal and Halacha Moshe Mishinai is Perush HaMekubal is a interpretation of the text, like that the meaning of Ayin Tachas Ayin is Mamon, whereas Halacha Moshe Mishinai is something that's entirely oral. For example, how much matzah you have to eat? You have to eat a kezayis matzah. The Torah just says, Be'avtochu matzos. How much? We have a Halacha Moshe Mishinai, that's a kezayis. There's no pasuk that's interpreting. Number three are halachos that are derived through svara and the mido shatar nedrashas bahen. So the first three, we could say, are divine laws. And then number four are gzeros. And number five are tachanas minhagim. The difference between those we don't have to get into now. And about those, that those are human. So we say like this. Categories one and two are purely divine. Categories four and five are purely human. purely meaning, obviously the gzeros are to prevent the Isser D'oraisa, but the origination of the law is purely human. And then we have this middle category, category three, which is partially divine and partially human. It's divine in the sense that it relates to the interpretation of the divine text of the Torah using the divine rules of interpretation, but it's human in the sense that it's the human interpretation of that text, which is therefore subject to debate. So that is basically the setup that the Rambam presents in the Hakdama to Perash Mishnayis, but he's really consistent throughout his writing. Okay, Binyamin.
Where are the Rambam's explanation?
I'll put the five categories in the group text so that I know I went through them quickly. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
There's a the Rambam's definition of what's Nisinai and not. Isn't that like a self-fulfilling prophecy a little bit? Where like, if there's a machlokas, then Avada, like it wasn't Nisinai directly. And if there isn't, so Viharaya, like there's no machlokas.
I don't know what you mean by self-fulfilling prophecy.
I mean, once you define halachos that are from Sinai as something that there's no machlokas, meaning, let's say you're like speaking to a gopher, and he's like,
yes.
Oh, how do you know?
I don't know. I agree with you. You know, we can, the Rambam was, I think, you know, might be part of what he was doing was addressing the tainos of the Karaites, and we'll see actually in a couple minutes more explicitly how he does that. But you're right, this doesn't prove anything. This is just trying to understand, you know, everybody, you know, we learn Gemara and we see what happens in the Gemara. The Gemara, you know, the Gemara will have a din, the Mishnah will have a din, the Gemara will say, Nani Mili, and it'll quote a drasha. So now you might wonder, okay, is that din? Now, this is not, again, it's not, I don't think this is going to prove anything to a kofar, but is that din, what is the origin of that din? Is it a mesora or is it not? So on rare occasions, the Gemara will actually tell you something is a mesora. But in 99% of the time, more, it doesn't. It just quotes a drasha. So now you want to figure out, you wonder what is going on. Right? Or to put it a little differently, sometimes you wonder, is the pshat that we had this halacha and we're looking for source for the halacha? Or is the pshat that we're looking to the psukim to figure out what the halacha is? Right? Which one is it? And the Rambam saying, the answer is yesh v'yesh. And how do you know? So we don't always know. But the Gemara sometimes gives us clues to figuring it out. So the Rambam thinks if, for example, the Torah, the Gemara says explicitly this is Midaraisa or Minat Torah, the like, that shows us, according to the Rambam, that it's a Perish Mekubal. But okay, that's also not too common. It's occasional, but not too common. So is there another clue that we could figure out? Again, either way, the Rambam thinks that we'll call it divine legislation. It's not human legislation. Human legislations are category 4 and 5. And I just sent out that list, right? Divine legislation is categories 1, 2, and 3. So the only shaila is, the only nafkamina is, okay, so categories 1, 2, and 3 are divine legislation, but which version of divine legislation is it? Is it a misora or is it not? So the Rambam, I'm just saying, well, there are certain clues you could use to figure that out. And one clue is that if you find a debate, then you know there is not a, that it's not in categories 1 or 2, it has to be in category 3. Now, I haven't yet told you, or at least we haven't developed, how exactly the Rambam knew this. We're gonna elaborate a little more, but I think you're right. The Rambam is not, this is not, you know, if someone goes and says, you know, how do I know the authenticity of the oral law? These are a bunch of assertions. I don't know if this is going to prove anybody, but for someone who does believe in the authenticity of the oral law, and now we're trying to figure out, okay, but still, where did it come from? So that's where the Rambam's categorizations are very, very helpful. And the fact we'll actually see, I don't know if we'll see, I was hoping to see today. I don't know if we will, but we could definitely talk about it another time. The Rambam actually thinks there are nafkaminas between these dinim. Because like we said before, categories, I won't get into now. There might even be nafkaminas. They're nafkaminas in terms of minyan mitzvos. They're nafkaminas possibly whether b'makom safek. There are differences in these things. There's nafkaminas in the dinim of Zaken Mamre. So there might be, and again, I wouldn't say major nafkaminas, but there might be some minor nafkaminas between them. But some, Rambam wants to, is letting us know how you figure it out. Okay, Jonathan.
Yeah, so in terms of the list that Rebbe provided for us, is that also, in terms of if someone was poskening, is that more or less the hierarchy of how we weigh up one halacha against another?
Again, in terms of stock, they're really, for the most part, well, again, this is a little tricky because the Rambam does have different categorizations than everybody else, like we already alluded to before. Halacha l'maisa, you know, we always talk about, you know, what's a nafkamina? Let's say safik deraisa l'chumra, safik derabanan l'kula. There are nafkaminas, whether it's din is deraisa or derabanan, like for shvus to shvus, b'makom tar. Now, it's very important to know whether a din is deraisa or derabanan. And how do you figure that out? So again, the way, the standard way of figuring that out is there's really two categories for everybody else. There's divine laws and there is human rabbinic laws, we'll call that. Divine laws are what we call deraisas, and rabbinic laws are derabanans. And so if it was a gzeira takano minhag, that's a the rabbinic law, and then we have certain rules like safek derabanan lakula, or shvus to shvus, or shvus b'makom choli, or whatever it is. And the other category is deraisa, and that has its own rules. And that's sort of the accepted way of doing things. The Rambam's categorization, which we're sort of in the middle of explaining, is much more complex because he doesn't have, he also has two categories, Dvar Torah and Dvar Sofrim, but Dvar Torah and Dvar Sofrim mean different things. Dvar Torah, more or less, for the Rambam, means explicit in the text or explicitly emerges from the text, and Dvar Sofrim means does not emerge from the text. That's why the Rambam thinks Kiddushei Kesef is Divrei Sofrim, because we learned it out from Gzeir Shava Kicha Kicha. It does not mean it's the Rabbanan. The Rambam agrees that if a woman, you know, nowadays everybody gets married with Kicha, with Kiddushei Kesef. The Rambam doesn't think we're all not married on Divrei level. The Rambam would agree that if a woman gets married with Kiddushei Kesef and is Mizana, she'd be Chayav Misa. So, Divrei Sofrim does not mean rabbinically legislated. Divrei Sofrim means that it comes to us via the Sofrim, via the Sanhedrin Agadol, via the oral law. Within Divrei Sofrim, then there are multiple categories of laws, according to the Rambam. These include even Halacha Moshe Mesinai, which are a direct Mesorah, as well as drashos that are nischadshu while you day the Sanhedrin Agadol using the Midosh Hatar Nidreshes Bahen, and also included in Divrei Sofrim are rabbinic legislation, Gzeiros Takanos Minhagim. So again, right now I want to go a little weiter, but how the Rambam thinks you paskin these dinim, so it is quite complex, it is subject to debate. I think there is a lot of misunderstanding of the Rambam's view. And if we have time, we could try to go back and do that. Though, again, the halacha l'maisa aspect, we don't accept the Rambam's perspective on this. We might accept the Rambam's perspective on the general idea that there are perushim and mekubalim, and then there are novel understandings of the law that were made up by the Chachmei HaMesorah using the Midos. But on the halacha l'maisa point, we don't really go with the Rambam. So I don't think it's right now, at least, we have to go so far into it. But the Rambam has interesting ideas. The Rambam does think that were Mako and the Safek and Divrei Sofrim, generally speaking, even when it's a divine law, but not for now. Okay. Rabbi, yeah.
Just one more clarifying question. Also, Divrei Sofrim also includes Nas, and that would be within the category of Divrei Sofrim.
There's no such thing as halacha in Nach. You're talking about Divrei Kabbalah, right? Ein Navi Rishai L'Chadesh Davar. So that means that the only halacha that comes via Nevuah is from Moshe Rabbeinu. We have concepts of Divrei Kabbalah. Divrei Kabbalah, you could say, is part of Divrei Sofrim. These are, but they're, even their authority doesn't come out the Nevi'im. The Nevi'im qua Navi has no authority when it comes to halacha. It's an interesting discussion whether Navi bo Rasha is out the Nevuah Shavo or not. That's a machlokas we've shown him, which again, I don't think we'll get into now. But when it comes to, when you talk about a halacha that's Divrei Kabbalah, like let's say we just had Purim, Miguel Esther. So there might be a certain level of stringency when dinim are Divrei Kabbalah as opposed to not in Divrei Kabbalah. But fundamentally, it's just another din derabanan. In other words, it's bechlag zeros takanas minhagen. A navi has no right to legislate anything. It's only because it's only if it based in legislates and because lo b'shamayim hi, whether legislation or interpretation of the law.
No, of course, but also there within Shas, there's definitely there's places where we find asmachtas that
asmachtas are something else. What is an asmachta for the Rambam? So the Rambam thinks asmachtas are basically mnemonics. They're just ideas to help you remember the law. You know, so you're reading through the parsha, and you'll see this pasuk, and you'll remember the asmachta, and through seeing the asmachta, you'll remember the din derabanan. That's one type of asmachta. So one type of asmachta is a mnemonic for a din derabanan. Another type of asmachta is a mnemonic for a halacha l'moshe misinai. So the Rambam, for example, says, let's say, what is the Arba Minim? So the Gemara has all sorts of drashos. So the Rambam says that was a Mesorah, what the Arba Minim are, and that's why you don't find any debate, even though there are different interpretations of how you know that the Pri Etz Hadar is an Esrog, and in the Gemara. The Gemara really never had a suffix about that. That's like the example we said before, where the we always knew the law, and what the Gemara is trying to do is provide an asmachta, or same thing in the Gemara Bava Kama and Perkachova, when it's trying to figure out how you know Ayin Tachasayin is Mamon. So those are asmachtos. So those are two categories of asmachta. One type of asmachta is a mnemonic for a din derabanan in the Torah. The other type is an asmachta is a mnemonic for a, when we say non-monic, we just mean a remez that helps you remember that it's here for halacha l'moshe misinai, like by ayin tachas ayin or arba minim or the like. I recommend for everybody, again, we're doing this very bekitzer, but you should all, if you haven't done so, learn very carefully the Rambam's Hakdama to Perish Mishnayis, as well as his Hakdama to Mishnah Torah. And also maybe in Mishnah Torah, the first couple of prakim of Hilchos Mamrim, at least the first parak. And the Rambam really is very, very clear. He really very powerfully develops this mahalich. I want to just spend one moment talking about who the Rambam was sort of balafuke. And that is a position found in a number of the Gaonim. And the Rambam writes explicitly that he's disagreeing with them. In fact, he writes that this view is repugnant, and we'll see in a moment why. But what were they saying? So the Gaonim felt that all the details were given to Moshe at Sinai in a literal way. When Chazal Chamim said, that means literally, all klal and fratim and dukdukim. So, according to the Gaonim, how is there room for debate? Now, for the Rambam, how is there room for debate? Because not all the details were given at Sinai. So there's room for debate, because debate stems from different ways to understand the text. According to the Gaonim, that everything was given at Sinai. All details were given at Sinai. So how is there room for debate? So the Gaonim says, well, it must be that things were forgotten. We'll take a look at one presentation of this perspective, but you could see this in Rav Shira Gaon's famous Igeres, and we're going to read from Rabbi Avram Ibn Daud, sometimes known as the Rivet One, in his Sefer Kabbalah. You find it also in Rav Nisim Gaon, in his Sefer Maftech. But let's just take a look at the Sefer Kabbalah of the Rivet, who presents this idea. And one of the major sources, probably the major source that the Gaonim have for their perspective, is the Gemara that says that when did machlokas proliferate amongst Klal Yisrael? Mishirabu Talmid Hashem Avihil also Shimshu Kol Tzarka Nisrabsan Machlokas Yisrael until the point that it was Nasik Shtei Tyres. So what does that mean? Sounds like it's saying that debate emerged from the lack of scholarship of the Talmid Hashem Avihil. Now that we know that originally, at least this is what Chazal seemed to tell us. We'll see if there's another way to understand this in a moment, that there wasn't originally debate. The Gemara, the Mishnah Chagiga tells us, originally during the Tkufa, the Zugos, there were three machloksim. There was one machlokas related to Smichan Yantif. That was during the period of the Zugos. Then during the period of Shammai and Hillel, there was an additional three machloksim. So by the time Shammai and Hillel, at the death of Shammai the Hillel, it seems like there were only a total of four debates. That doesn't mean, by the way, that there was never any, well, we'll leave it at that. We'll get back to that point in a second. So there were four debates, four machloksim, at least unresolved machloksim. And then once you get to Beis Shammai Hillel, you see, my goodness, there are hundreds of debates. So how did that happen? So the Gemara says, why did that happen? Because Talmidei Shammai Hillel lo shimshu kol hatzorach. So that's what the Gaonim say. Oh, from here we see that the debates really stem from forgetting, or at least lo shimshu kol hatzorach. And that is the source for all debate. So we take a look at the Sefer Kabbalah. Uliolam Chachmei Talmud. That's the source you have over here in a non-print script. Uliolam Chachmei Talmud v'chol shekein Chachmei Mishnah afilu davar katan lo amru milibam. Nothing was ever made up. Unlike the Rambam, who said many of the halachos were derived independently, that is not true. The only thing that were made up are takanos. Chutz mina takanos shetikmi baskamas kulam kidei lasus yad b'tayra. Ve'im lach shoch adam lomar mepnei ma shenechleku b'kamim komos l'kach ani mesupak b'divrayim. So here, he is sort of addressing someone who has a problem, right? Somebody saying, well, look, you know, if the Mesar is so strong, why is there so much machlokas? Afa tahaka shinov. V'hodi'ehu Shehu mamre al pi beisdin. Whoa. Shalom nechlechu razali olam be'ikra mitzvah ala b'talmudaha. So first of all, he says, interesting point, that you'll find that machlokas is generally speaking not about the major things, but about the details, which is certainly true. And he gives examples. Shesham u'karam me'rabu sehem v'lo shalom al toldo sehaya. Right? They went to Shir. They did a good job. They remembered the main points from Shir. But there were all sorts of details. They didn't ask, or they asked, but they forgot. And even when within the Rabbanan, for the most part, the debates are not about the principles, but about the details, right? Everybody agrees you have to light Shabbos candles. So too for all things. So that's the view of the Gaonim. So why did the Rambam reject this so much? After all, it does sound like this in Chazal when they say, Mishirabu Talmid Hashem V'Hil Osol Shem Shukot Tzarka, and that's Gemara San had written on Daf Pechas on the base. So what's so bad about this idea? So we'll see what the Rambam says in a, I guess, next time. But the Rambam thinks that we can't accuse the Chachmei Masorah of forgetting so much. Basically to say that all this debate is coming from Shechicha, in which case there's a huge amount of Shechicha, because there's a huge amount of debate. And it doesn't make sense also that, like, you know, how did the Machlokas, like, get out of control so quickly, right? That's really strange. So therefore, according to the Rambam, the debate comes from new understandings of the Halacha. All right, we're going to stop here. I'm sorry I have to run, but Bezos Hashem, we will pick up next week, and we'll get into the details, and we'll also work on the kashas that they ask on the Rambam and how the Rambam might ask. We'll see. There's a very strong critique of the Chavos Yair on the Rambam and how the Rambam might respond. Everyone should have a good Shabbos. Shkayach, and again, sorry about my lateness.
Thank you, Emmy.